Today's sermon, Characteristic of the Godless, is taken from Psalm 14, a psalm written by David. It will be delivered in two parts. The second part will be delivered next Lord's Day. Before proceeding further, let us be clear about the meaning of godless. According to the Webster Dictionary 1828 online edition, godless, as an adjective, means having no reverence for God, impious, ungodly, irreligious, wicked. Therefore, godless and ungodly are synonyms, and I will use these words interchangeably. Psalm 14 is a very important psalm for us to read and understand, because it is here that we learn about the characteristics of godless or ungodly people. There is another important reason why this psalm is important. Let me explain. When we go for Bible study, Bible camps or retreats, worship services, visitations, evangelism, and even church conferences, we bring our Bible. There are 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, and 27 in the New Testament. In fact, the Bible is actually a library of 66 books. The Bible is definitely a big book of books. It is no ordinary book. In this Bible, we find God's wisdom and God's guidelines for us. There are thousands and thousands of words in the Bible. Of these thousands of words, there are few things that are said by God, word for word, and repeated more than once. In the Bible, when the words are repeated, it is for emphasis, and that means there is importance attached to them. We have to pay special attention to it. Psalm 14 is one such a psalm that is repeated. Take a look at Psalm 53. Psalm 53 is almost an exact copy of Psalm 14. I say almost because only verses 5 and 16 in Psalm 14 are significantly altered in Psalm 53. There are 7 verses in Psalm 14, but only 6 verses in Psalm 53. In Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, the most important part of Psalm 14 is repeated here. Romans chapter 1, is in fact the Apostle Paul's commentary on Psalm 14. And this exposition is on atheism. Therefore, when God states it once, whatever he says requires our attention. When God says it twice, it demands our most intensive attention. However, when God mentions it 3 times, it requires more. Let me quote from the late James Montgomery Boyce what it means when God says something 3 times. It means God requires, quoting, our keenest concentration, contemplation, assimilation, and even memorization, unquote. Psalm 14, as an example, which is repeated in Psalm 53 and in Romans chapter 3, is an example. Therefore, this psalm requires our closest attention to and is where we learn about the godless people. It describes the godless people who are not with and are disobedient to God. Here, the wicked people are described, who and what they are like. God wants believers to know the godless people and what they are really like. At the top of Psalm 14 in your Bible, there is a title, Do the Chief Musician a son of David. In the Hebrew Bible, this title is part of verse 1. The time, where, when, and why this psalm was composed are unknown. When it was written, it appears that David was influenced and convicted by the depravity of his people. It was at a time when God and his commandments were neglected, and there was much unrighteousness in the land. There were unrighteous, godless people at the time of King David, as there are at our present time. This psalm, therefore, describes the ungodly or godless people. The title of this psalm, Characteristic of the Godless, is borrowed from the Henry Morris Study Bible, which is situated just under the psalm title to the chief musician, the Psalm of David. There are four main points to consider from this psalm. Firstly, the fool's statement about God. Secondly, God's statement about the fool. And thirdly, we consider the fool's way. And fourthly and finally, the godly's hope of deliverance. For this sermon, I would like to consider the first two main points. The fool's statement about God in verse 1 and God's statement about the fool in verses 2 and 3. Let us begin with the first main point, the fool's statement about God. Let us read together Psalm chapter 14, verse 1. Let us read together. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." Amen. In the first part of the first verse, the fool said from his heart, take note, from his heart, "There is no God." In other words, to him, God does not exist. He has not only thought about it in his mind, but has cherished it and behaved in a way that is in accordance with that belief. Note that the two words "del is" are in italics in your Bible. In the Hebrew Bible, these words are not there, but are added by the translators to make this reading smooth. What the fool really says is a forceful "no God," which literally means "no God for me." Remarkably, this reveals two things about the fool. Firstly, he does not believe in God. To him, there's no such a thing or being as God. God does not exist. This means the fool is an atheist. Secondly, he acts on his conviction. It is his belief. When there is a belief there is no God, it is usually established that there is a desire to, firstly, live a wicked life, secondly, disobey God's moral code, thirdly, maintain themselves in their depravity or immorality, and lastly, avoid the dread of future retribution and judgment in the future. Only godless persons will find pleasure in their reasoning to prove that God does not exist. Their desire that there is no God arises only in and from a bad, depraved, or corrupted heart. Let us consider the use of the word "the fool" in verse 1. There are many ways of describing people who are unwise. Words that come to mind are simple, silly, simpleton, fool, stupid, and madman. From my study, the word used for fool is from the Hebrew nabal. This word nabal portrays a person who is not only foolish, but one who has an aggressive personality and temperament. From observation of human behavior, such folly is a trigger to evil acts. To find out how the word nabal comes about, let us turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25. There was this man, Nabal, husband of Abigail, This Abigail would later become King David's wife. Nabal was a wealthy man, but he was harsh, rude, and stubborn. When David sent his men to ask for food from Nabal, the latter insulted David and sent his troops back empty-handed. Consequently, Nabal was nearly killed by David, but he was saved by Abigail's intercession. In front of David later, Abigail said this of her husband in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 25. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. Amen. Which means, he is just like his name. His name is fool, and folly goes with him. What strong words from Nabal's wife. I hope none of your wives said of you, fool. So that is what Nabal means, fool. So Nabal died soon after heart failure, and his death was a miserable one in 1 Samuel 25, verses 37, 38. Now in verse 38 it reads, and it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. Why is the person who does not believe in God or denies the existence of God called Nabal the fool in the Bible? We turn to Romans chapter 1. The person who does not believe in God is a fool because he knows there is a God and he chooses to deny it. Quoting from James Montgomery Boyce, quoting, if a person knew there were no God and said so, he would be wise and perhaps even courageous for standing against the nearly universal but mistaken opinions of the human race. If he did not know whether there were a God and said so, he would at least be an honest skeptic or agnostic. If a person is convinced there is no God, when actually there is one, he is merely mistaken. But none of this is the case according to Paul's careful exposition. The reason the person is a fool and not merely mistaken is that he knows of the existence of a God and yet chooses to believe and act as if there is none, unquote. From this, there are two important questions to consider. Firstly, how does the person really know there is a God? The Apostle Paul answers that in his epistles to the Romans. Here Paul says, God has revealed himself in nature. From Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, it reads, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Amen. The things that are visible and obvious, the sun, the stars, the planets, mountains, seas, birds, plants, and many more, clearly point to a creator, rather than to matters happening by chance. Atoms and molecules just don't come together to form an object or a creature without a creator. It just does not happen. Paul states that God reveals two important elements in that verses: his eternal power and Godhead, which means God's power and God's divine existence. As far as Paul is concerned, it is adequate enough to prove to any reasonable, sincere, and intellectual human being that God truly does exist. And this knowledge is sufficient to direct that person to the conclusion that everything must have a cause and an effect, and that every human being owes this God praise and thanksgiving. Therefore, for a person to reject him and his existence is not only wrong, and not just an ordinary fool, but a super fool, like in Superman, super fool, a Neville, a Nabal. However, some may argue that the evidence for God and his existence is flimsy and not clear. Or maybe they may say that a human being does not possess the capability and intelligence to perceive or understand such revelation. The Apostle Paul, however, begs to disagree. To them, he says, this is not a good enough proposition because God has revealed himself so clearly, and that can be seen and understood by everyone. For them to fail to seek God and then not to give praise and thanks to him, Paul has this to say to them: they are without excuse, in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. How is that so? The revelation of God in nature is not veiled in secrecy, where only qualified and experienced scientists, academics, and other intelligent beings may uncover it. In fact, it is actually open for all to see, to feel, to hear, and to perceive. The evidence is right in front of them. There is enough evidence of God in the human anatomy, in the structures of the crystal, snowflake, fingerprint, flower, eye of a fly, landscape, deep oceans, and even in a drop of water, to direct any honest, reasonable human person to believe in God and to worship him. In fact, everything in the universe, from the vast galaxies to the tiniest microbes, shouts to men, God, look at my creations. I am created by a being. Everything in the world shouted at this fool. Secondly, if the revelation of God in nature is so clear to all, as Paul proclaims to be, why would any reasonable person reject the evidences, and why should anyone be so foolish as to make such a statement, there is no God? In answer to this, we have to turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Amen. From this verse, Paul argues that people suppress or hide the truth by their holding the truth in unrighteousness about God by and all because of the ungodliness and unrighteousness. James Montgomery Boyce said, and I quote, "This means that they try to live without God because they do not like him. Everything about him is an offense to him. He is sovereign, they are not. He is holy, they are not. His holiness is a condemnation of their sin. He is omniscient, they are not. They find his knowledge of them to be unsettling. His love, they are filled with hatred. He is gracious, they are ungracious. He is wise, they are foolish. They are so foolish that they suppress what they really do know about him and cry, often with great heat and sometimes even with great sophistication, there is no God." Unquote. Therefore, what is the final result? According to both the psalmist David and Paul, the final result is corruption. Paul describes the downward spiral of deterioration and degeneration of the human race in Romans chapter 1. But David says it more clearly in his psalm, in Psalm 14, the second part of verse 1. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. They are corrupt, the psalmist says of these fools. These godless people have done corruptly, or their behavior is corrupt. Furthermore, these corrupt, godless fools have done abominable works. They have done acts which are abhorrent and to be detested. They fill their minds with evil ideas. Many people, believers and non-believers, have suffered and tens of millions died by the hands of these godless fools, corrupted godless fools, such as the atheistic communists in the old Soviet Union, present-day China, North Korea, Vietnam and other countries. They did abominable things. They still do. One Bible commentator, H.C. Leopold, says, I quote, "Atheism bears its proper fruit in a rotten conduct," unquote. That rotten conduct is reflected in the millions of people who suffered and eliminated by all these atheistic dictators. To the fool, the psalmist declares, "There is none that doeth good." Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." This human depravity is a universal thing. No one worshipped the true God and abide by his laws. Although the psalmist spoke these words by referring to the time he lived, it is applicable according to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as a basis for the case for the total depravity of the entire human race. David, the psalmist, permits us to listen to the full statement about God and to know what this fool is like. They are described as corrupt, who have done abominable works. Next, the psalmist wants us to listen to what God says about the fool. So we come to the second main point, God's statement about the fool in verses 2 and 3. Let us read together Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3. "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Amen." David describes God in this way. The Lord looked down from heaven upon, which means literally, God literally bending forward or down from heaven upon such folly. I quote from a 19th century Presbyterian minister, Albert Barnes, quoting, "The idea is that God looked intently, or so as to secure a close examination upon the children of men for the express purpose of ascertaining whether there were any that were good. He looked at all men, he examined all their pretensions to goodness, and he saw none who could be regarded as exempt from the charge of depravity," unquote. Once upon a time, thousands of years ago, God looked down upon the wickedness of people before his judgment by the great and global flood in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And after the flood, at the time of the Tower of Babel, when God descended from heaven to observe the folly of those building his tower, in this tower, and confuse the people with different languages, as in Genesis chapter 11, verse 5. Notice two important facts about God's judgment. Firstly, the fool in the first verse may give us the excuse to believe that we are not under God's judgment because we are not atheists. We say we believe in God. Am I right? We say we believe in God. However, if we consider carefully the term the fool, it is not restricted to a group of people or fools who do not believe in God or in his existence, but to include all those who are in the natural, unrepentant state. The fool does not just mean for atheists, but also for all people. Yes, all of us. If we read these verses carefully, we can see the worsening stream of inclusive terms. Any in verse 2, and then in verse 3, the words all, altogether, none, that is, no one, and no, not one, meaning not even one. There is no exception. We are all included. A British biblical scholar, the late P.C. Craigie, who lived 1938 to 1985, notes, I quote, "The fool is not a rare subspecies within the human race. All human beings are fools apart from the wisdom of God," unquote. Not just the fool who does not believe in God, but it includes all of us. The Apostle Paul says the same thing in Romans, but he does it in a different way, quoting from James Montgomery Boyce, quoting, "For the issue in Romans is not whether or not people say they believe in God or whether they actually worship some God in some way. The issue is their actual relationship to the true and only God. And in this respect, they have all gone astray and are corrupt, according to Paul's teaching. They are all true atheists, even when they are excessively religious," unquote. Secondly, note God's assessment of mankind, which is inclusive in nature. His assessment includes not only a single facet of man's makeup, but includes everything about them. Let us go back to verses 2 and 3. "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." And verse 3, "They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." God's assessment of mankind includes, in verse 2, God looks down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. What did God find? He found they did not have spiritual understanding, and they were not seeking, or they failed to seek after God. And in verse 3, "They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one." God found that they were all together filthy, that is, immoral. They lived immoral lives. They committed every sin under the sun. Not a single person is righteous. They are all depraved. The Apostle Paul quoted Psalm 14 in Romans chapter 3. Now verses 10 to 12, Romans chapter 3 reads, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." Amen. Compare with Psalm chapter 4, Psalm 14 verses 2 and 3. In Psalm 14 verses 2 and 3, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." So Romans chapter 3 verses 10 and 12 is the same as Psalm 14 verses 2 and 3. If no one is the righteous, then we are all heading to hell. Then how do we come to God? The answer is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the blessed triune God, plays a great part in our hearts. He convicts and turns us to God. He leads us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, no one will know the true God and understand spiritual matters. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 reads, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Amen. The natural man refers to non-believers. We are nothing. Without God's help, we will be in dire straits. Without God's calling, we will be condemned. Even our Lord Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 5, "For without me, ye can do nothing." So without Jesus, without God, we can do nothing. We even have difficulty understanding ourselves. We think we are seeking after God, when in fact we are running away. We think we are righteous, when in fact we are corrupt. Therefore, if there is any hope of hope or salvation for people, including ourselves. It is from God. The fool makes a statement that there is no God. God then makes a statement of the fool's depraved nature. The psalmist goes on to describe what happens to those who do not believe in or turn to God. He shows us the way of the fool. To find out how the psalmist shows the way of the fool, I will encourage you to come back next Lord's Day. Psalm 14 is a very important psalm because it's here that we learn about the godless or ungodly people. The words in this psalm are repeated in Psalm 53 and in Romans chapter 3. Since the words are repeated three times, that means God wants us to pay special attention to these godless people. The fool makes a statement that there is no God. These fools are corrupt, and they have done abominable works, and there is none that doeth good. God declares that the fool have no spiritual understanding, do not seek him, and is depraved. None of them do good. We must take careful note that the term fool is not restricted to a group of people or fools that who do not believe in God or in his existence, but to include all those who are in the natural unrepentant state. We are all fools if we continue to be unrepentant sinners. For those who do not believe in God, I plead with you to come to believe in God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your heart to him and you will have eternal life, and do it today. For those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and still in an unrepentant state, I beg you to confess and repent of your sins. Let us study this Psalm 14 carefully with prayer and meditation and know the characteristic of the godless people. Amen. Let us pray.